When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week, I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Johan Ilgenfritz is the founder of UK Health Radio. Now, in his life, he's been very ill with cancer and was told by his doctors that they couldn't help him and they gave him 12 months to live.
I had no duty. The only thing I had to do was be there for the treatments. Nobody told me to do sport or not to do sport. Nobody told me what to eat or what not to eat. But most importantly, I didn't ask.
He started to ask questions, a lot of questions, and that was 12 years ago. He's now one of the fittest people I know, and I started my chat with him by asking about his running and his latest half marathon.
Beginning of lockdown, when all the gyms and all the tennis clubs and everything closed down, I started running, and little did I know that I would absolutely love it. So, yeah, I've just kept on running. I've run almost 3,200 kilometers since then.
Right.
And it's amazing. I've run seven half marathons now in the time. So this year I'll be doing four. I just finished the Kew Gardens half marathon, which is an amazing marathon because it's so beautiful. Half of it you run in Kew Garden itself, and then you go out and you run next to the Thames all the way down to Richmond and back. So absolutely magnificent half run, half marathon.
What was your time in that, Johan?
2 hours and 8 minutes. So
fantastic. All right.
Yeah, it's not too bad for. I'm 60 in November, so it's not too bad.
Not too bad for an old. No, I'd say that's pretty impressive. I mean, it's fast. It's faster than I could do. I have done, and you're significantly older than me. So, well done, brilliant. So
it was the fastest one. So up to now.
We've established that you are, fit and healthy, and I can see you, all right? The listeners can't see you. You look fit and healthy. And when I talk to you, you always sound fit and healthy. But that hasn't always been the case, has it, by any means?
No, really hasn't. My health issues, as I now call it, my life opportunity started when I was almost 47 years old, so 2011. First of all, with a heart attack on the tennis court, and then a few months later, I was diagnosed with cancer the first time, and that's where it all started. I stumbled into radiotherapy, and I use the word stumble. Not derogatory towards the therapy or anything, but more to explain my state of mind. And at the time, I had I ended up doing two sets of radiotherapy. And in October of 2011, I was given the all clear, the cancer all clear.
Okay. Did you have radiotherapy? Did you have chemotherapy as well?
I didn't. No, I only had radiotherapy, two sets, as I mentioned. And then, as I said, I was given the all clear. But there was a feeling that stayed with me. And that was the feeling of not having been part of the process that I'd just been through. I had no duty. The only thing I had to do was be there for the treatments. Nobody told me to do sport or not to do sport. Nobody told me what to eat or what not to eat. But most importantly, I didn't ask either. Right. So I was literally just a vessel going through the motions on this, in this very stormy weather, actually, you know. So definitely that's the feeling that I had afterwards. But as you know, when everything goes back to normal or you get the all clear, everything does go back to normal, unfortunately.
So you didn't feel terribly engaged with the whole process. It was just kind of something that was done to you. And you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was, as I said, I was just a vessel. I wasn't part of the process at all. Strange feeling, I have to admit. When I think about it now, ludicrous. But even at that stage, I thought, wow, this is odd. This shouldn't be like this, you know? So. Right.
Okay. So anyway, so that was the first time you had cancer. You got on with your life again, back to work, back to everything.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. That wasn't the end of the story, was it?
No, unfortunately not. That was actually only the beginning. because 6 months after that, during my first post-cancer screenings, I was told that the cancers had returned with a vengeance, literally, and had spread almost everywhere. So,
cancer, Johan?
I actually had two kinds of skin cancer, both times at the same time. The first one is the nodular melanoma, mm-hmm. which is the most dangerous skin cancer that you can have. It can literally spread within, become life-threatening within 6 weeks, literally. Wow. And then I also had the melanotic melanoma, which is it's white. It doesn't go dark. It has it doesn't produce melanin pigments. Right. So it's really difficult to see, first of all. And in certain cases, and in my case, it can grow under the skin even.
Oh, goodness. Right.
It's not entirely, but quite a lot of it is under the skin. So those were...
Difficult to see, difficult to diagnose.
Very difficult, you know, and spreads. Lungs, liver, can spread to the lungs, to the liver, bones, brain, tummy, literally everywhere, you know, okay. So...
All right, so we're 6 months on after you had been given the all clear to find out that actually the cancer has spread pretty much everywhere. Is that the state?
Literally, yes. I even had a melanoma in my left eye, so which literally doesn't happen very often. But yeah, that's what happened. But the important part of this and I differentiate between the two, between the first and the second one. The difference from my point of view, from me, with the second diagnosis is there was no stumbling. For some reason, I distinctly remember sitting in my oncologist's office And she telling me, you basically have 12 months to live. We can't do anything for you. And I can literally hear my own voice in the back of my head screaming at me. Okay, so the first option hasn't worked. Now go and find another option or options. You know, so like I had a total different mindset towards the whole thing the right. second time. For some reason, I don't know, maybe it was just that feeling I had after the first completion, that feeling of, but yeah, I said to myself, nobody's going to fight for your life the way you are. I mean, they right. can't. These are doctors. They have many patients like myself. You know, they go over and above in any case, most people. And in my case, it definitely was like that. But nobody's going to fight for my life the way I am. Right. That is just how it is, you know. So, and that
so
was.
So you felt fired up and engaged to do something. You weren't just going to sit there and let whatever was going to happen. So you were.
Definitely.
Just let a fire under your belly, a fire in your belly.
Yeah, there was all of a sudden this purpose. This okay, so that didn't work. Now find something that will work, and find something that will work permanently. That's basically right. was the mindset, you know. Right. So wasn't a very easy time, because it's not easy when somebody tells you you've got 12 months maximum to live. Not easy at all to be. But and even in that case, you know, quite often the medical professionals get a lot of pushback on telling people how long they have left to live. And I've seen it myself as well. A lot of people, when they get 12 months, they sort of fall apart, almost like I did with the first diagnosis. But in my case, it was motivation. I thought, okay, geez, I've got 12 months, you know, better get going on. Kind of thing. Yeah. Literally.
So this is like 12 years ago this happened now.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I was given 12 months and it's 12 years now.
Good. All right. So, well, the end result, okay, is UK Health Radio, running half marathons, being in great shape.
Yeah.
So that's where we are now. But back 12 years ago, kind of what did you do then? So you had this fire in your belly. What was the next thing you did?
I literally walked out of the office. I got in the bus. This was in Hamburg. At that point, I was still living in Germany, in Hamburg. I got in the bus. I went home, made the biggest mistake of my life by not telling my dear wife, Rafaela, I told her about the cancer had returned, but I didn't tell her about the maximum 12 months to live. Biggest mistake in my life, because in that position, if you have the support that I have, and don't use it, it's actually quite stupid, you know. So I have it really is silly. But I thought, and she did. She found out quite quickly, because my health deteriorated relatively quickly from then on, you know. But right. So she did find out in the end. So I might as well have told her from the beginning and as well in any case. But in any case, so I went home, and literally the same day I started looking for, as I mentioned before, a different way of doing this, you know. And where do you go? There where everybody tells you not to go, the internet.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I started searching and searching. And what followed were very dark 7 months, to be quite honest.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, That business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Until one morning, it was actually 2 o'clock in the morning, I read a sentence that literally changed my life and in the end ended up saving it. And the sentence is by a Dr. Warburg, a German biochemist by the name of Dr. Warburg, who actually won a Nobel Prize for this discovery. The sentence is, cancer cannot survive in an oxygenated alkaline cellular environment. And for me, when I read this, it was like I was standing on a dark football pitch in a stadium, and somebody switched on all the lights. All of a sudden, I actually woke Rafaela, as I said, 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke her and I said, literally said to her, "I have found a way not to die." Those are my exact words, because I knew that, and I'd always been a very scientific person, you know, I like science, and I always went by it and that kind of stuff. And this that I'd found was the exact opposite, actually. Because Dr. Warburg won a Nobel Prize for it, it got my attention, and it made me. But what it meant was lifestyle changes. So what that sentence basically means is you can, not your blood's pH. Your blood's pH you can't change, and that is regulated by your body. And we all have a different pH, a blood pH. That is a fact. But what you can do is you can influence your pH level on a cellular level. So in your cells, and you can do that by through nutrition and many other forms of lifestyle changes, which I do now, which of course I did as we learned about it. But the main thing, the first thing that we tackled was the nutrition side of things. So, I mean, everybody's pH, everybody knows 7.2 is neutral for your body. Everything below that is acidic. Everything above that is alkaline. Well, 7.2 is actually alkaline already as well. And very simply said that cancer cells feed on glucose, on sugar. And anything acidic in your body turns to sugar on a cellular level. So you basically... supplying the cancer cells with nutrition. Now, in 7.2 or above that, in an alkaline environment, that doesn't happen. And you basically withdraw what the cancer cells live on. So you almost, I call it, I starve them to death, basically. Right. It's not a quick fix. Not a quick fix at all. It took me 2.5 years all in all. To get rid of everything, okay. To get rid of all the cancer.
So we'll come back to kind of what some people say about the science of this, etc. But for you, it meant a massive change in your diet. So what kind of changes? What sort of things did you cut out, and what sort of things did you start eating?
Well, I literally became a vegetarian overnight because, as I said, as I read that evening, Rafael and I started researching and experimenting with cooking. And what we'd learned, as I said, literally became a vegetarian overnight to progress into becoming a vegan. Today, I'm an alkaline vegan and have been for about 9, 10 years already, plus minus. So I only eat alkaline food. So alkaline food, I'm not a nutritionist, so but alkaline food is everything green is alkaline, you know, and meats and coffee and tea and that kind of stuff. Fish, even chicken. That is all acidic. For example, turkey or fish is only 4 on the pH scale. So really, really acidic already. You know, black tea is the worst thing you can do. Coffee is the worst. One cappuccino acidifies your body by 300%. So that's just to give you an idea of.
Okay. So
of the enormous change that had to take place and did take place. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was a big change that you did and pretty much overnight. And, you know, at this time, you were really ill, you know, so you were suffering from the effects of the cancer. You were getting weaker. Presumably you didn't look how you look now. I imagine if I saw you then, you would think, good grief, that chap looks kind of ill. All right, so how long did it take for you to start feeling different?
Before I answer that, I can give you an idea of how ill I was at that point. The same day that I read that sentence, it took me 20 minutes to walk up 3 flights of stairs.
Right.
To give you an idea of how ill I was. And I have photographs, of course, of actually not many, but I have one specific photograph of what I looked like at that point, which, you know, I was really ill. I mean, let's face it. It's about, Mike, after we started the change, about, I'd say it was about 2.5 months, I had a surge of energy that I hadn't had since I was 25, never mind 46 when I got ill. It was unbelievable. Well, at least it felt like it. I always joke, I say, for the normal person, it was probably nothing more than a 2-foot swell. But for me, it was like I was surfing a tsunami, literally. Right. I had this surge of energy that I'd never experienced before. It was so amazing. And then, that just consolidated the feeling I had inside me that I was doing the right thing. That I was on the right path, you know, which always helps, of course.
Yeah. And so do you continue this diet now?
Absolutely. I still today optimize my diet and my lifestyle. I won't say on a daily basis but I try things all the time, new things that I learn, that I read, that I hear on UK Health Radio, or that I read separately, or however. It's for me, it's a, as I said, I've been an alkaline vegan now for, it must be really close on about, well, let's just say 9 years, definitely, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I know that if I would revert to my old lifestyle, it would come back. I know that. It's just a feeling that I've always had. But it didn't just stay with nutrition. It's gone much further than that. In that sentence, it also says oxygenate, and that's what I do with my running. I love it. But it's also, I've also gone into stress. I mean, that is also scientifically proven, that stress acidifies your body. Now, none of us can get away from it anymore. Not if we have a functioning family and job and lifestyle. Let's face it, that's just how it is. But you can analyze it and you can optimize it and learn to live with it better, if that makes any sense. For example, in my case, I used to be a fashion photographer before all this happened. As a fashion photographer in the fashion world, you are always under time pressure. You are always under the gun. And that's what I analyzed for myself was my main stress factor, if I could call it that. And I changed my whole day. I lengthened my day so that I have more time to do things at a more normal rate. I say now I get up when, as a photographer, I used to go to bed. It's not quite right, but I just lengthened my day. I actually start work, or I start my day, let's call it that way, at 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning. And so I just lengthened it to give me more time to do everything I need to do, to put everything in place.
Well, certainly,
minimize the stress factor of it.
From what I know of you, I mean, running UK Health Radio, you know, this is not a 5-minute job. This is quite a big deal. And, you know, you do that. Okay, so you say you give yourself a longer day, but you still do everything that you need to do to run this, you know, what is now quite a big enterprise. Sometimes you might call it a monster, I don't know, but it's a big thing, isn't it? So
it takes
a lot of effort to keep it going, and you know, you just get on and do that. So this must take a lot of energy. So I want to move on and talk before this. Had you sort of dabbled in alternative therapies for various different things? Was it kind of part of your world? Part of your world of being a fashion photographer and that kind of thing?
Not at all, actually. I remember, literally, I had no inclination and no idea about it at all. Literally not. You know, there was, I'd always been, I call it mainstream health. I'd always been part of the mainstream. That's how I grew up. And that's what I thought was it. I'd never heard, as I said, I'd never heard of lifestyle as in the sense of nutrition and stress reduction through, you know, through things and meditation and anything like that. I always thought meditation was something that, you know, like monks and stuff did. Now I meditate on a daily basis and I'm very far away from a monk, you know, so.
This is something, getting to the crux of this, something that absolutely fascinates me, because if you talk to scientists that work on cancer research, you know, they will say that, oh yes, stress brings it on. Exercise can be good. And, you know, and having a healthy diet is a good thing. But I've spoken to scientists and say, you know, this thing about this alkaline diet, you know, it's not true. It can't be right. So there's a bit of a clash here, because, you know, there's evidence, you know, you are evidence. Admittedly, it's a relatively small N, you know, it's not a big experiment. It's an experiment with one person. But the fact is, you are here and you are thriving. I talk to scientists. My wife is a cancer research scientist, and I haven't necessarily spoken to her about this exact subject. But in general, scientists will say, you know, this can't be true. You know, what you eat will not change the makeup of your cells. You know, the pH levels of your cells. This kind of thing. And they don't say that because they are nasty people, you know, evil individuals. They just don't believe it. So it's kind of a very interesting clash, might be too strong a term. But there's what do you say about that? Because, you know, previously you were scientific. You know, I'm a scientific person. You know, I'm an engineer. I do things very methodically, to the point where it drives some people nuts. But I, it's obviously working for you. So I mean, you must have these discussions with, well, maybe you don't anymore. You don't need to. But have you spoken to doctors about your experiences? And what, you know, what do they tend to say?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I have spoken to many doctors, especially since UK Health Radio started. I have spoken to many doctors about it. Some, as you mentioned, say can't be, not possible. But there are a lot of doctors I've spoken with, and groups that I've been in and discussions where the medical professional profession is starting to realize that this is a thing. Most definitely, it is a scientific, a Nobel Prize. You can test it in a lab that cancer cells do not survive in an oxygenated alkaline cellular environment.
Yeah, I mean
that is science. That is. And that was, you know, in
there's
my
a big
case,
difference between a Petri dish and a human body, yeah. Though.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. But in my case, I mean, it took me 7 months before I found that one thing, you know. It wasn't, and I'd read a lot about oxygen tanks and all these other things that could have helped me. But it didn't resonate with me. It didn't work for me.
Right.
But when I read that, for me, that was science. Nobel Prize, I thought, okay, that was it. And you mustn't forget, you know, I had a different motivation. I was busy dying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wasn't going to dabble with things that were going to waste my time or that weren't going to work, you know. And that's why I also have a saying that, You are what you eat, what your food eats, what it's sprayed with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to get into that because that's not what this is about. But only to 50%. And the other 50% is you are what you think. And so many people don't realize that self-belief. I'm not saying that's what cured me. But it definitely played a very big part because I honestly believe that you can beat cancer through nutrition and through lifestyle changes. I honestly believe that. But if you yourself believe it in it one wholeheartedly, it's definitely a plus. It's definitely going to help you even further. As I said, that surge of energy that I had, that I felt, that was for me the last straw. I knew this is the way it was going. I was going to survive, you know. So I honestly see it as science. As you mentioned, there is a difference between a lab experiment and the human body. But here I am, and there are quite a few people.
Well, actually, I wanted to ask you that. Is there now quite a large cohort of people that have essentially been through the same experience as you?
I was interviewed by Chris Watts about 3 or 4 weeks ago, who basically did exactly what I did with the cancer in America. He's a young man, though. He had cancer at a very young, early 20s, if I remember correctly. We didn't do the same diet or anything like that. Not exactly, but very similar. He did a lot of juicing and stuff like that. That doesn't work for me because I don't do fruit because there's so much sugar in fruit. Even though it's natural fruit, it's still sugar for me. I do vegetables. I do juice, but vegetables, especially beetroot. I love beetroot juice. I can drink it every day, all day.
sounds potentially very messy. Get a bit of that on your shirt. That isn't going to shift.
Yeah. It is, yes. But yeah, I am. It is true. There are many of us out there that have lived longer, that have cured cancer through nutrition, through the pH way of doing things.
Right. And so have you come across scientists getting actually really interested and, you know, sort of coming to you and wanting to know what you've done and seeing if they can emulate that or study what's happened a little bit more? Is a scientist getting interested in this, as far as you know?
No, not directly with myself. There's a lot of interest about it. And whenever I speak, I do a lot of public speaking. And quite often there are doctors there. And they ask me a lot of questions. There's a lot of interest that comes from it. But there hasn't really been anybody that's approached me, you know, to do like an experiment or anything like that.
Yeah, all right. Or just yeah, give some information on what you do. All right.
Yeah.
So let me ask another question, which is it might be a bit unfair. I'll ask it anyway. You don't have to answer it. Have people come to you and said, look, I've just had a diagnosis of cancer, and I know you've had a diagnosis, you had a bad time, yet you're still here 12 years on. You know, give me some help. Give me some thoughts. And is that something that you would even do or consider? Because, you know, it's a pretty personal thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I do it all the time. And I have for quite a few years now already. I just want to make very certain, as everybody knows, I'm not a health professional. Now, I don't tell anybody what to do. All I do is I tell them my story. Mm-hmm. And I tell them what I do and did and still do and hope to do, etc. Very important. As I said, I call it mentoring because I think that's what it is. It's a very personal thing because the person you are mentoring and yourself, there are no secrets. It's very open. So it's actually a very good thing. Some people have taken on board what I've told them and done well, got over cancer. Not all of them. I'll be very honest with you as well. I have lost a few people along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And many people don't take it on board. Many people just say, can't do this. Can't do it. I'm going to enjoy the last few months of my life, eat what I want, drink what I want, do what I want until the end. I've experienced both sides of that, but definitely helped many people with the story. With my story, with telling them my story. As I said, it depends also on the type of cancer, how far into it, etc. Of course, there are a lot of I'm not blue-eyed either. I know, you know, cancer is a killer. I know that. And I know the facts of cancer. But it's the first step of this is taking on board what you are told, what I am telling them, and actually doing it. You know, there's a huge difference between understanding something intellectually and actually doing it. Huge difference. It's like,
sure.
You can understand, you can see, yeah, it makes sense to me. pH value, sugar, no sugar, you know, all that. You can understand that. But if you are not willing to actually put it into motion, as Einstein said, action has genius, then that's it, you know. So
and it works the other way around as well. You can put something into motion that you don't understand. You know, you can turn the light on and the bulb comes on, you might not understand how the electricity works. So, you know,
I
guess that comes down to faith to some extent, or just belief. I don't necessarily mean faith in a god or anything, but faith that something might work for you.
Absolutely. That's the part of what I said before as well. 50% is what you eat. 50% is what you think. You have to have a positive attitude towards it. You have to. I mean, but you have to have a positive attitude to anything. If you go into business thinking it's going to fail, it's going to fail.
Yes, absolutely.
99.9% of the time. So, if you see a beautiful girl and you want to speak with her, you've got to do it. You've got to go over there, you know, be positive and do it. She isn't going to come to you. Well, 99.9% of the time, not, you know.
Yeah, that's just my experience as well, yeah. Good. All right. So there's another question, which I think it must be at the front of everyone's mind who's listening to this. It's certainly at the front of my mind. And again, it might be a bit unfair, but I'll ask it anyway. And that is, what sort of questions and considerations would you suggest that people think about if they were to be, you know, find themselves in a similar situation to you were, you know, those 12 years ago?
I think the most important thing is they have to become part of the process of their health. They must stop handing their health over to other people. Of course, they're professionals and everything else, but it's still, as I mentioned right in the beginning, nobody's going to fight for your life the way you are. And that is, I think, Mike, that is the most important thing. And be open. Be open to, I can explain it to you this way. When you open your closet, do you only have one designer's clothes hanging in there? Most people say, no, of course not. Then I go, so why do you do that with your health? Why do you not look at what's out there and use what works for you? Not everything works for everybody either. We all know that. But use what is available to you and that works for you. Why not? I mean, when you buy a car, you don't just buy one make your whole life. Why? You buy what fits you, what suits you. If you're a young man, you want a sports car. Later on, perhaps you're living in the country and you need an SUV, a Jeep or something. So, you know, that's how I see it. You've got to use what, first of all, is out there. And second of all, that's going to help you. And be open. Be open-minded to it.
I must admit,
The one thing that I always say as well, and it's not, it must never be one or the other. You can, the integrative approach, I think, is probably the best way of doing this. Use the one to assist the other. Use supplementation. When you're going through chemo, use the supplementation. That's going to help you, your blood, your platelet count, keep it up. That's going to help your recovery quicker, or even have the chemo done quicker through supplementation, through, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's the best that I can say to people. Use the one to assist the other one, and it doesn't matter which way around you do it. What's the difference? As long as it helps you, as long as it works.
That's absolutely what I was gonna suggest that before you said it, and you know, so well said, because presumably you can have chemotherapy and have a diet such as yours.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I mean, it can only help you. It cannot not help you, if that makes any sense.
Do no harm. So, that's what all doctors are told, aren't they? So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely fascinating. And as we've said, you know, this is 12 years ago. You're now fit and well, and you're running marathons. And not only that, I want to just explore a little bit about what you've achieved with UK Health Radio, what you think the future of it might be, that sort of thing. Let's have a bit of a summary of where we are with UK Health Radio.
Okay, so When I started UK Health Radio, we had two listeners. I was one of them, and I think Raffaella was the other one. She's never admitted it, but I know it was her. Today, 12 years later, it's been a 12-year journey, but UK Health Radio officially was 10 years old in December. Mm-hmm. Because it took me a while to get it started and everything else. Today we have 1.3 million listeners worldwide. We have listeners in 56 countries. We are on 15 podcast platforms worldwide since beginning of December last year, 2022. We have the most amazing health magazine. It's called Health Triangle Magazine. that boasts 60, 70, 80 pages of only health, but no light blue gray health magazine stereotype. This thing is vibrant. It's alive. It's colorful. It's beautiful. It's really important. And it's only health. There's only health in there. We've got a film review and small things like that, but for the rest it's pure health. Right. And very importantly, it's not a lot of people that hear my story, they think, okay, so it's probably only natural health. Well, the same with UK Health Radio. It's not. We do not differentiate. We air and publish the latest information on health. I said to somebody the other day, it doesn't matter. It's quite often I don't agree with what's airing on UK Health Radio, but that doesn't mean I shouldn't air it. That doesn't give me the right to withhold the information because I don't agree with it.
Okay. Well,
so I think that's very important about UK Health Radio. People don't realize it, that it's not only natural health or only mainstream health. It's a mixture of everything and anything we can, good quality information that we can put out there, and true information, very important.
Yeah. Well, certainly a lot of the stuff that I have on my show is what you would class as mainstream, I would suggest, but I do have some alternative topics as well. In general, do you think that there's an appetite for alternative type health information and topics, and that appetite is growing?
I think so. I think especially in the what I mentioned before, in that integrative approach, in the one assisting the other one. It might not be that the people are going completely from mainstream health over to the natural health side. In certain cases, I'm sure it is like that. But generally, I think it's more that the openness to use more naturally orientated things to assist their health in all the other ways. So I definitely think that appetite is growing considerably. The pandemic, and I might be opening a can of worms here, but the pandemic has definitely shifted a lot of people's minds towards natural remedies. It really has, as well. And so, yeah, I definitely think there is a growing interest in it. And even within the health profession, there's a growing interest in it. My son studies naturopathic medicine here in London, and a part of the course, not necessarily in his course now, but I know of doctors, of health professionals that are doing an extra nutrition or naturopathic or whatever courses, because they even from that point of view, there has been a shift in it. So yeah, definitely. I definitely think that people are opening up more to it as time goes by. I don't know if you know this, Mike, but 75% of the world's population still rely on traditional herbal medicine. It's only us in the Western world where it's so all focused on mainstream medicine. I don't want to use pharmaceutical and alternative and all these phrases that it's been given, you know, but that's literally 75% of the world population still uses traditional herbal remedies successfully. So it's not a new thing or an outcast. It's probably older than the pharmaceutical industry, you know. So there is this huge shift in it, definitely.
Yeah. No, I've detected people being certainly having an interest in it as well. All right. So you've built UK Health Radio up. You've got 1.3 million listeners each month, all over the world. What next for UK Health Radio? What's next in the pipeline?
Next in the pipeline, and I have to say, this is still in the beginning stages. Very much so is a bit of television. So not mainstream, not normal TV, but online television. So Apple TV, that kind of thing. And the other thing that I've always been very interested in, the last few years, very interested in, and part of one as well, is a mastermind, a health. I'm in a business mastermind, but I'm thinking of creating a health mastermind for UK Health Radio. We have all these health experts on UK Health Radio that can all help and all contribute towards people's health. And if there is a possibility to do this, it's never been done in the health sector. So we're working on it at the moment. Don't know if it's going to work as it would in the business world, for example, but I can't see why not.
All right. Well, it's good that there are even more plans for UK Health Radio. I really love being part of the UK Health Radio family myself. So, Johan, certainly thank you from me to you for making the whole thing happen, starting it up. And thank you very much just now for, you know, telling us some of your story.
Thank you, Mike. It's been great being on your show.
Thank you very much to my guest, Johan Ilgenfritz, this week, talking about his life, his health, and his UK Health Radio. And of course, thanks to you for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.